Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means, now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonour their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the some, but also approve of those who practice them. Look, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to that portion we read together. We're going to begin a little new series dealing with the place of truth, or really the lack of truth. Lack of truth in this world, in our community, even in the church, perhaps even in our own lives. It's a desperate situation that we're in. We're living in the day, aren't we, of fake news. We're living in the day where when you look at the internet and even the news on TV, you're unsure of what to believe and how you should take in the reports given. It's been a year where this has been highlighted greatly in the Parliament itself through the inquiry of COVID and parties and shutdowns and what we found, whatever you may think, how small and trivial those things may be. The great problem was this, was there was a place where no lies were to be spoken. That is in the Houses of Parliament. You may say that they lie all the time, but they are not allowed to call someone a liar. That's banned from Parliament. And if you do, then you would be suspended. You would be suspended. It was a place where truth was then really to dwell. But as we know, we've come to a place, even in society, where truth is hard to find. And there's a reason for that. I want us to look tonight, firstly, the reason why there is no place for truth in this generation and the society in which we live. I'm sure you know the saying, and it goes like this, the first casualty of war is truth. Well, actually, the first casualty of sin and ungodliness is truth. And you find it here in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And when you think why it is there's such a lack then of truth in this day, is it not, there it is before your eyes, is it not? It is connected, as the word of God says, as wickedness and godliness, as it's prevalent in the society in which we live, suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And this book which you now read, this book tells us how it really is. This book, as I'm showing you tonight, there's not anything which is new under the sun. It tells us of how people are, tells us what people do, tells us how things really are. And what happens is that the Apostle Paul, in the first chapter, is writing to the church at Rome. And you know something of the history of Rome. The history of Rome before the Christian faith entered in was a city which ended up, as you know, what brought Rome down? It says that it fell from the inside. And the great city of Rome, where over 1 million people lived in those days, it was a place of the amphitheatre, the brutality, the killings, the murders, the infanticide, the bestiality, the sodomy, all these things existed in that city of Rome, as it does even today in many cities in this world. And what Paul does, as he writes now to the church at Rome, he's going to explain to them the gospel. Some people have called Paul's letter of the Romans as the Roman road of the gospel. And what you find, he begins in the first chapter of the decadent society in which then this gospel comes into. Remember this tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the truth. He was full of truth. And yet now that gospel comes in to a society which suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And I want to explain to you just for a moment of the very situation that we find ourselves in and the reason why there is then such a lack of truth on people's lips, in people's hearts, in dealings in this world. And it's got something to do with a decadent society that we've now come to live in once again. And what you find here is in verse 18 that this ungodliness and unrighteousness of men is closely related to then the suppressing. Now, I don't understand the mystery of sin. I know that it's something, how it entered into the world, how sin was found in heaven, in Satan, how sin could come then even into this world. But you have the story, don't you? And it begins, does it not, with that lie, with the suppressing of that truth. When the serpent comes in and says, has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then you've got, you see, what happens. Now listen to this. We're being told from the very start that the problem in this world and the wickedness that it is and the relation to lies is that people today, they're not sinning because they're ignorant. They're not wicked because they're not educated. They're not doing those things wrong because they have no knowledge. Adam had perfect knowledge. And don't remember this, that when God spoke to him, his ears, they worked perfectly. It wasn't that he missed something that God said. It wasn't that he was now someone who was lacking ability in understanding what God said. But when God said, that day that you eat of that tree, of that fruit, in the midst of the garden, that day you will die. He knew it perfectly. He had heard it clearly. And yet, you see, there came a time when someone came and there was the suppressing of that truth. Let me just show you for a moment that what happens, first of all, that when a person in our lives, in all that's taking place, there is that holding down. There is that now in our own lives that we know. God has given you a conscience, and even today you would have felt that conscience working, where you should be, where you are not. You know what's right, you know what's wrong. The things you say, the things you don't, your conscience points to you. Those things which are right and those which are wrong. There are certain paths that you're walking down, and you know no matter how you try and cover it up, you can cover it up with good works, good intentions, even gospel work. But at the end of the day, you know what's right and wrong. And what people do is this, is that they suppress the truth. They suppress the fact that God has warned and said that there's a judgment, there's a hell, and there's wrath. They've suppressed these then very things. And that's what happens in people's lives, even tonight, as you would perhaps even come to this place. There will be those which are living in certain lifestyles, and what they do is that they speak to themselves the lie. They try and make things out that they're better than that they are. And so it is that you've got to know that that's what wickedness does and unrighteousness does within one's life. I remember, and I've always noted it, when I was there studying many years ago, that there are those who come into the world, and the Bible calls them scoffers, scoffers, who have gone after their own lusts, denying then the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I've noticed is this, that when you ever get someone as a theologian, those in the pulpit, ministers, priests, who come and tell you something about this book, and they say that this is not true, or they don't like something about then Jesus Christ, don't like what he taught, don't like what he said, don't believe that God would actually judge, don't even believe there's a God of wrath and all the rest of it. What one has noticed is this, without exception, every one of them has been in their lives perverted in some way. Something just not right. This work hasn't come from the writings of holy men and godly men. This has come from people who have become scoffers because of their own lusts. And what they do is then they come and they suppress the very teachings and the things of Scripture. And it's not because they are ignorant, not because of their PhDs. It's because, you see, of sin, And people oppress the truth. There are those, perhaps, even tonight, and you do think of it, don't you? There are those in this town, and what they do is this, is that they also suppress the truth, but they do it in this way. They do it with their drink, and they do it with their drugs. And they've lived a life, they've got regrets, the things that they know which are wrong, they're doing those things which are not right. And the only way that you can cope is to hide and mask that in some form or some other. That's what you find here. There's a reason tonight why there's a lack of truth in the secular field where we are, is that this world and this age we live in is ungodly and unrighteousness. And because of that, the very news of Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear his name on the news. They don't want to know of his person, or his good and kind. Everything else but Jesus. You say, why is that? Well, it's not because we come modern. It's the same in Rome. Not because we're now more advanced in our understanding. It's because of this. And let me just show you, as the Apostle Paul does, verse 19. It's not because of ignorance. Definitely not. Because in verse 19, he makes it plain. Because that what may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, being understood by things which are made, even his eternal power. And he says, well, it's like this, is it not? This is how obvious it is. People deny there's a God, but you know it yourself. It is utterly, totally insane to believe that somehow that everything you see has come from nothing. Just think of that. From nothing. The nail on your finger appeared from nothing. Your finger, your arms, your body, what you sit on, this world, this universe, it exists. You feel it. You can touch it. You know it. And what happens is people say, there it is, Paul tells them, clearly seen. And then people say, well, look, you know, we're more scientific now. This is utter nonsense. It's all come from this great big bang which has taken place. Have you ever had a bang? Had a bang in your car? You didn't get out and say, isn't that beautiful? What a bang that was. Oh, the contour, it makes it look much better. Every time you've had a bang, it's not that it's, you're filled, aren't you? This world of beauty and of wisdom, you can see it. And you know yourself what a bang can make. And even the scientists, look, there's not a scientist really that's worth his salt that won't be able to say to you that someone behind this great created order, there is that order of design. There's the fingerprint of God. There's the wisdom of God, the power of God, the beauty of God. The invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. Now, do you see it? But because of wickedness and godliness and righteousness, which invades into our secular space, people say, there's no God, but God has put within them the knowledge of himself. God has given us evidence which is all around us. And as the psalmist says tonight, the fool has said in his own heart, there is No, God, the fool has said it. And so we learn here is, as he tells us, that the eternal power of his God is, so they are without excuse. So I'm showing you tonight, this is nothing new, and there's a reason for it. Not because science has made some big machine in Switzerland, which doesn't work, by the way. And neither then is it because you've got your telescopes, which actually look further. It's because of human sin that will not then come to the knowledge that one day we have to acknowledge him and come then unto him. And this is how it's manifested. You can see that in verses 21, 22, and 23. Is that although they knew God, the problem is this, they do not glorify God. Now that happens even today. I know that we're here tonight, and it's great to see you because it's an opportunity to glorify God, acknowledge him in our lives, thank him for what he's done for us, pray to him because our lives are sustained by him, to acknowledge that there is a God who is operating in our lives. Now what happens is this, there are many who will walk past this place tonight, and although they walk past this place and have no glorification of God, that's not a thought in their heads or in their minds, yet what they've done is suppressed. They really have suppressed that knowledge. They do know, but they will not give him the thanks. It's an awful place to live, because every now and again, it comes to them. They think of who it is they should thank. How is it they got better? How is it that they've come to this place? As it says, as someone told me, or I read it even this week, of Winston Churchill, who spoke of what he was doing in the affairs of the world, was that he felt he was interfering. But all then he said was this, no, he felt that someone else was interfering in the very providence, the outworking. They see it, they know it, but no one will acknowledge, even God. Have you noticed that on the TV, even over the last number of weeks, month, since the Hamas and Israel, and they're talking about United Nations and aid? No one has mentioned God. That perhaps we should turn to him, acknowledge him. There's nothing we can do. We need to pray to him. These things, we need to have our own solution. That's what man does not give him that knowledge, does not glorify him. And then you find this in verse 23. They change the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made of corruptible man. And what happens then is this, because in the very place of Rome, which was actually a centre and supposed to be the light of the world in those days, is that it was a godless nation, but it was this, a nation filled with gods. They worshipped gods, the gods of creation, corruptible gods. Gods, you see, of man and creeping things and images. Now I want you to know that, because that's where we are this day. Even in Narberth, in the society in which we live, I've noticed you've got these shops, have you not? You would have had them 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Crystal shops and icon shops and shops with elephants, which our Prime Minister has got on his desk. An elephant, remember that? The Prime Minister, who believes and is a Hindu, that there's something now of this God in the elephant which is on his desk, an image of it. You say, I can't believe it. But you should believe it. Because when a nation and a society turns away from the living God and from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not that they don't disbelieve in God. They believe in everything and anything. And I know that my illustrations, you're getting tired of them. But it was years ago. Maybe even true today. The two most secular cities in the world are Amsterdam and Los Angeles. And in those two cities in the world, there is more witches and spiritualism and false religions than any other place. You say, how come? Because the more secular people come, and the more devoid and detached they are from God, they have to worship. They'll worship the things which were made. You say, what's all that about? It's because they've suppressed the truth of in unrighteousness. That's what you've got here. But then I want you to look. You see that something happens. It's only verse 24 and 25. Because these things now are in actually our society. So for example, what happens in verse then 24, therefore, look at this, God gave them up. And then when you think, is God dealing? Yes. That then they dishonor their bodies. But look at verse 25. There's no place now for truth. And what's happened is that they've exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Has anybody ever said to you, I'm living the dream? You're living the lie. You're living the lie. And you get it again. There in, it doesn't come out so well in this version. Yes, verse 26. Even the women exchanged again. The exchange that they've done. I want to talk to you about that exchange. He says what happens there in verse 24, 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. There used to be a newspaper, I think it was called Exchange and Mart, was it? Yes, it was. And what you could do, you could make some, purchase. What an exchange that's been made in our society. We've exchanged the truth for a lie. We've exchanged the medicine for the poison. We've exchanged the life for the death. We exchange, you see, the fountain of waters for that which is polluted. What a deal we have made, and we've done it. There's no place, see, what's happened. There's no place for truth in our politics, no place for truth in the pulpit because of immorality. Exchange that truth. Can you imagine this? In our schools and education. Look, when even you've got atheistic people and scientists and doctors coming on to the TV in your left-wing BBC and saying, I know you're not going to like this, but when someone's born a girl, they're a girl, and when they're born a boy, they're born a boy. That is a biological fact. And they say that you can't get away from the truth of it. But you've exchanged it because we suppress the truth. And it's no longer found in our places of learning. There's no place in our society. But tonight, I want to show you from verse 25. There may be because there's no place of it in our own lives also. This is the lie. I'm living the dream. You're living the lie. And worship and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I want to just speak three things just to apply this. Of no truth in our society. And it affects even us here tonight. And it's this. You have bought in to the lie. You've lived your life for that which is created and not for the Creator. And even though there be those who may claim to be even Christians, don't bother mention it to me, because lives are lived for the things of this world. The pleasures of this world, the enjoyment of this world. God's given us these things in this world to enjoy. And by no stretch of the imagination, I want to be any killjoy in any way. But one also knows this, that you bought in to the lie. And although you may not have that idol in your little room, you may not have the elephant on your desk, but everything around you stinks that you lived for those things which are created and not for the Creator himself. And you've done it. And you know it. You know it in your heart that those things have been first. And God has not had his place. And what you've done is this. You've exchanged the truth, haven't you, for the lie. And we do it. And we do it. We live in that society. And we've been touched with the unrighteousness which is all around us. Not only have we lived that lie, do you know what we've done? We've taught that lie. It's the lie. It's the lie to our children and to our grandchildren. And every one of us wants to know of our children doing well and going on. But we've put such a great store on just the sheer things of this world and the living, whatever it may be. And look, the things which God gave us to enjoy. But such has been our story. Such has been our focus. That these things, they mean much and they mean great things. And they're nothing at all. Don't give you life. Don't give you joy. Don't give you find that peace that you have. But we told them and said, you do go well. You go on. You progress. You gain. You have. And have more. It's the lie. It's the lie. We've lived for the money and lived for the pleasures and lived for the things. And we taught it to our children. Did you not teach them this? God is always first. God is always first. And you say, no, I am a Christian. What I do is this, is that I've got God and I've got these things. And I assure you, things have changed. And when it comes to putting him first, they see how we live. And they know, you can't hide it from those closest to you, in your life, in your lips. You're living for something else and you've lied to yourself in this. Verse 25, and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed. And here's the third lie that people have made in their lives. I don't serve anyone. And I don't serve anything. My life is not given up to the service of the things of the flesh or of this world in which I live. Lie, lie, lie. I assure you, what you live for, you serve. And you're paying a great price for it. It may even be in a relationship. You're just serving. And you're there and you're like in a bondage. You say, I don't serve anyone. And you've not served God. And you could only have served him. Instead of serving, I'm not serving God. I'm going to be totally free. You'll find yourself in a bondage. In a bondage. What you need to know tonight is this. Do you know you need to serve God? Serve the Creator who is blessed forever. Forever. The truth is like a ball which is in water. And you're pushing it down, and you're pushing it down. And even though tonight, you just want to push it down. You push it down. But you know the truth will always bounce up. Always bounce up. It's an amazing thing that the truth will always come out. You know the saying? It's true, isn't it? That no matter how you cover it up, every now and again, and in meetings such as this, I don't like one word that you've said, yes, but you can't deny the truth. It bounces up. And you're affected. Now you've got to choice here tonight in some of those things which I've just said. I'm telling you there's a reason why there's a lack of truth in society. It's a lack of truth because there's a lack of truth even in our own lives in which we've lived, where we've lived, not the dream, but the lie. And you know, every time you come and you hear about Jesus Christ, who is the truth, every time you come and you know that you can come to him and believe in him, you come and give your lives to him, you can hear that word and you can either suppress it. But I'll assure you this, the truth of Jesus Christ, truth of what's taught even here tonight, it's like a ball which bounces up. That's why I'm not too discouraged in the very society in which we live. I'm not too discouraged in preaching in a day like this. You say, why is that, Chris? You don't realize the great forces which are with us. Do you not know? It's not that people are ignorant. It's this, that people do know. And every time we come and speak and we make this message, which is known even tonight, I know that the truth is like the arrows of God, which strike to the heart, and we're confronted with the lives that we're living and what we're doing. Now I'm going to ask you tonight, you want to live the dream. You don't want to live the lie. Serve the Creator, who is the blessed God. Amen.